Well, Anne, you're about to take me on set in what appears to be an ordinary Wagga suburban backyard. What am I likely to see when I go into this backyard?
Well, we've probably got a crew of about 40 people working on the film, along with probably about 10 actors, all our lead actors, so all the main cast are here today. We're filming a scene where we accidentally kill the cat. It gets incinerated, which is sort of the whole crunch point of the story.
This is the pivotal moment, so I'm here for the key moment of the making of the film.
Yeah, no animals are getting hurt, but yeah, so we've got a prosthetic cat. But we've been trying to work with the cat, who's not very happy, sitting up at the top of the barbecue, and then the cat gets hit by a cricket ball and it goes kaboom in the barbecue.
Okay, don't say any more, because I'd hate you to give away the story from there.
So that's what we're going to be seeing today. So all the actors right now are just blocking through a set, and then we'll start shooting it. So
okay, you've gone to Techo Talk at this point, blocking through. Explain that for those of us in the non-acting fraternity.
Blocking is just all the actors sort of walking through what they're going to be doing, what they're picking up. They're not actually acting or saying their lines, and it's really just for mechanical, so it's for the grips and the gaffers and the lighting and the camera to work out what they're doing, and then they do a proper rehearsal and then they film it.
Now, I know the geography of Wagga fairly well, and I know in this part of town the backyards generally have sheds and other things in them, so there's not a lot of space there. How are you going fitting 40-odd people into this very small backyard?
Well, Mark Rentel's one of the writer-directors, and he's the director. It's his family's house, so we're filming at his mum and dad's place, and then the actual backyard of where we're filming all the whole scenes is his grandma's, so we've totally taken over. I think they're quite overwhelmed. We've got camera gear and art department all through their bedrooms, and their garage is full of lighting, and we've got camera gear everywhere and props and... Yeah, I think they're a bit overwhelmed.
Can you take me from the front yard into the backyard? Can we sneak through?
Yeah, let's go.
Do we have to talk quietly while we do this?
Yeah, we are going to have to. We'll just get closer and we'll see how they're going and if they're actually filming.
That must be really embarrassing if you walk around there in mid-conversation and suddenly you realise that they're actually filming.
Well, if your phone goes off during a take, the standard protocol is you have to buy the whole crew a beer, so that can be expensive.
Come on, fess up then. Who's had their phone go off the most so far in filming?
The second unit camera guy's phone went off yesterday, and he knows better, so he's now having to buy everybody a beer. So this is what we're doing. Here we've got everybody standing in the heat with umbrellas over their heads just so they don't get sunburnt, because performing day in, day out, they can all get sunburnt. So here we are.
And I can see John Wood there.
Okay, we've also got Jamie Way, and we've got Rebecca Massey. Rebecca Massey is playing Lily, and this is Madison. Madison's a Canberra girl. She's done a lot of theatre with Mark Rentel before. There's Mark, our director, just walking across. And our first AD, you might be able to hear him in the background. He basically controls the set and represents the production office. And until he says turn over, roll camera, he then turns the set over to the director. The director calls action and, works with all the actors, and then on cut, control goes back to the first AD again.
All the umbrellas have come down. Are we about to start rolling?
We've just done the block through, so they'll probably do a rehearsal. Yep, so having a look means rehearsal, and then once they're all happy, they will then shoot.
Well, let's take a look.
So that's right in. That's right up to the barbecue, and that's where we're huddled in. So this will be shot.
Sorry,
this way,
and we're all in close. Is the barbecue open at that point?
No, that's what he's about to do. Dougie would be here.
And action.
So he opens a little bit, and everyone sees inside.
Oh, gross!
Who ordered their cat well done? Shut up.
What have we got going on here while the actors are actually rehearsing this scene?
So now they're actually going through their lines and trying to work out what the camera setups are. So we've got the cinematographer. He's actually just come off Great Gatsby, and so he's come off a $300 million film to come and work on a $300,000 film. Actually, we don't even have quite that. That's what he's doing, he's just trying to work out the camera moves.
I'm amazed you've got so much in such a small space.
Well, we've been really lucky. I mean, all the crew have come down from Sydney. They charge a lot of money for all this gear. We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gear here, and most people have brought it down for free and are charging us hardly anything at all. Nearly all the crew are working on deferred wages, same with the actors. But, yeah, we do have a lot jammed in.
I believe Lex Marinos is around just off-set at the moment.
Sure, let's go and find him. I think he's out the front.
And there he is, sitting in a comfy chair in the front yard, a long way from the madness of filming in the backyard, the one and only Lex Marinos. Welcome home, old son.
I don't believe it. Chris Cohen, how are you going?
I'm very well. Did you ever think, growing up and being a young aspiring actor and then an actor who's been in many things on stage and screen, that you'd be part of a feature film being shot in the old hometown of Wagga Wagga?
Well, no, when you put it like that, although I do realise that all of my early experiences of the movies were in fact in Wagga Wagga, in the long since gone Plaza Theatre and Capitol Theatre and the drive-in. So that was my introduction to the movies. Well, at that time I thought movies were just something that were made in America or occasionally in England. It didn't occur to me that at that age that you could make movies in Australia, and for a lot of that period when I was growing up and starting up, there weren't many movies being made in Australia. So now it's sort of come full circle a little bit, and here I am back in Wagga and in the movies.
Tell us about your role in Backyard Ashes.
It's a guy called Mac. He and his wife Wilma live above the backyard where the cricket gets played, and so their balcony is like being in the Bradman stand.
Is that your motivation, is it?
Pretty well it is. It is, actually. And so we get the sticky beak and see all of the events. And I suppose act as a sort of chorus of old people who are watching it. But at the same time, we have our own story that unfolds a little bit. So Mac and Wilma have probably been together for many, many years, many decades, and probably just starting to take them one another a little bit for granted. So in a roundabout way, the cricket match is a catalyst for re-sparking their interest in one another as well.
Now, we've turned up on the set on a most fortuitous day, the day of the burning of the cat, and I'm not going to give away anything that happens beyond that, other than that it is the start of a whole series of events. Do you, as a neighbour with the overviewing balcony, see the burning of the cat?
I do. I am fortunate enough, I think that's the word I want, to witness the burning of the cat. And react appropriately, I hope. So, yes, it is such a pivotal event. Who would have thought something as insignificant and as that would...
Not if you're a cat lover, it's not insignificant.
...would set off such a train of events. I can't wait to tell my dogs about it when I get home. They'll be thrilled and they'll want to see footage of it, I would imagine.
Well, Lex, I know that they're about to break for lunch around the back. Who else are we likely to run into around there today?
Oh, well, Woody's there. John Wood, of course, everyone knows John. Much love from, I guess, most popularly from Blue Heelers.
Gold Logie winner John Wood, we should say.
Absolutely, Gold Logie winner John Wood. And for me, it's particularly sweet to be able to work with John. We were, you know, we're a couple of old buggers. We sit here and bore the rest of them with our war stories, you know. But I think I first met John about 45 years ago. So, and we worked together quite a bit when we were both starting out, and now to have the opportunity to link up again and, you know, and show one another photos of our grandchildren, that's it's a big thrill. So Woody's there, Damien Callanan, all the cast there, they're some great bunch of chaps and ladies.
Is it safe to interrupt them while they're getting towards their food, or is that just like trying to take the supper away from a dog and expecting to be barked at?
Well, yes, I wouldn't stand between the crew and the food. You're likely to be stampeded, but I wouldn't interrupt the too much of the cat being incinerated either. I think everyone's very keen on that, although I see it there, over there now, and...
I think that's the live cat as opposed to the prosthetic cat.
Oh.
I've been told no cats actually do get burned.
Oh, really? I had my hopes up.
Lex Marinos, you're a very dangerous man. It's always good to catch up with you.
Yes, indeed, Chris. Good on you. Thanks. Good to see you. And it's lovely to be back.
That's Lex Marinos, and we might go for a wander from the front yard around to the backyard and just see how shooting's going, or if indeed the lunch break in cricket terminology is approaching.
It's just like when you burn a fish on, you know.
Sizzling salmon. Okay.
John Wood, sorry for interrupting your lunch break.
That's all right.
How's filming going for Backyard Ashes?
Oh, it seems to be going pretty well.
well, you know. Mark's doing a great job for somebody who's learning on the job, you know, and I think that's really the case. But, yeah, look, I think it's terrific. It's a lovely, fun story, and I'm enjoying it enormously, yeah.
What does a movie like Backyard Ashes say about the Australian entertainment scene, that someone like Mark can come up with a concept, Mark and Peter and the other people involved, but come up with a concept like this and then shoot it in a place like Wagga?
Well, it sort of says, I guess, you know, that there are an awful lot of people within the business who are prepared to go a fair way out of their way to make stuff like this work. You know, Damien's just finished shooting The Great Gatsby, you know, in 3D. You know, probably obviously one of the best cameramen around, and here he is in Wagga, probably being paid bugger all, or three-tenths of bugger all. But, I mean, look, people in the industry have always been prepared to muck in, and some of our best stuff is made on, you know, this shoestring budget sort of approach. You know, big money doesn't necessarily make for great movies, you know, like... This has got a lot of heart, and I think that's going to show in the end.
And tell us very quickly a little bit about your character.
Well, my character's pretty much, you know, like Merv is what you see is what you get with Merv. You know, he's the local publican, or he's one of the local publicans, and plays backyard cricket with these bunch of mates who, you know, they all work in various factories and places around town, and you know, he's obviously a long-term buddy of Dougie's and Spock's and people. And I mean, you know, like the other thing that's really interesting, of course, is we've got, you know, Pakistani Wazim playing Bin and Shingo playing Taka, you know, so we've got a Pakistani and a Japanese, and it's great anyway. But Merv's just one of the boys, really. But I think he fancies himself. He really, you know, like many of us from that era of the, you know, who grew up during the 60s, you know, we'd all long to be Dennis Lilly. We'd, you know, like, I still remember watching every ball of test matches with him and Tomo bowling. And
is that why you've got the big black moustache?
Big black moustache. I'm not going to give away the secret of the big black moustache, but it's only on for today.
Obviously an inside joke there. We've turned up on a very special day.
Oh, yeah, it will. You have to see the movie to find out what we're talking about. it's gone down a treat. Everybody keeps saying, oh, look, you look good with a moustache. You should grow one again. I think, God, it's 30 or 40 years since I've had a mo. But...
Okay, one final question. And I think you're possibly one of the best people who can answer this. How many times can you barbecue a cat before it stops being funny?
I don't know if it's ever funny. I hope it is funny, but certainly, you know, like my reaction, if it happened at home, I would be mortified. In fact, I remember one of our neighbours, when I was a kid, accidentally shut a kitten in the oven, and the whole street was devastated by it. But yeah.
Something for you to draw on for inspiration.
No, no.
John, thanks very much for talking to us. All the best with the rest of filming.
Thanks a lot. All the best.
Come in tight for that B camera. Thanks for Sim. Right next to that camera. No.
All right. So lunch has been had, and now for probably the 15th time today, the cat is actually being burned on the barbecue once again. Damien, what are we seeing here now?
We're about to see a cat fall into a barbecue and get incinerated, thus creating the ashes required to justify the show's title.
I laughed then, but are you still laughing at it now, whether that you're into the 15th or 16th run through for the day?
Yeah, I am. You have to pretend that the audience are listening to it every time you say it, otherwise part of you dies inside, basically. This is the ninth day in a row we've been doing barbecues, and I reckon if I drank actual alcohol over those 9 days, I'd be in your local hospital getting my stomach pumped, to be honest. Haven't been to the toilet once.
Excellent. 9 days of barbecues and not a snag inside.
No, we haven't eaten. That's a peculiarity of the film world that we, no one's eaten. No one's bought a salad. It's they run a really average barbecue, Doug and Lil, I must say. It's just cricket, drinking. Lily's always drunk. It's because there's no food, basically.
So barbecues here in Wagga, not something you'd recommend?
If this is a true reflection of barbecues in Wagga, then I'm happy not to get invited to one.
Now, how's this bloke over here, Jamie Way, going?
He's going all right. Yeah, he... he's my assistant in the film. He works for me in the Mr. Whippy van. We haven't seen the Mr. Whippy van yet. In fact, we haven't sold an ice cream, so I blame him.
Jamie, have you been practicing your ice cream skills?
For many years, Chris. I mean, I'd like to say that it was by design. I have, in fact, been practicing eating my soft serves for, like 30-odd years now, in preparation purely for this role.
I think that's why our small business is suffering, to be honest. Every time I look around, hang on, there's another bat gone.
The numbers are getting fudged on the activity statements.
Now, it looks like you're about to get dragged away, but I've got to ask, is making a feature film everything you thought it would be so far?
It's great fun. There's a lot of waiting, but I'm very good at that.
And I can see cameras moving into place. Are you guys about to get dragged away from me?
Yeah, I'm going to go and pretend to drink beer again and not go to the toilet. So.
And Jamie, do you have a big line in this scene?
No, I have my patented shocked and awed face.
Excellent. I look forward to seeing it. But let you go. Get back on step. Damien, Jamie, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks, Chris.
Everyone right to go. And action.